Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day. Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day.
Welcome to Indiana Sports Beat Radio, brought to you by the Hard Truth Distilling Company in Brown County, Indiana.
So for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, it's time!
Three on the way. Oh! Elian! Elian! And Indiana wins the ball game!
Know your role and shut your mouth!
Game for the win! Ayler's gone! Goodbye, touchdown, Indy! Woo! IU! America! They got a football team now!
Pretty simple, I win. Google me.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop!
Oh. Now, from the Hard Truth Studios, here's Jim Coyle.
Hello, sports fans. Welcome in to another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio, coming to you on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along. No, I'm sorry. It's Tuesday. I jumped ahead a day already, right? I better write that down so I don't say that all day, right? All right. Happy to have you aboard. How's your week started off? Brian with a little goofiness there on the hotline. Appreciate everybody. Got a great lineup. Mike DeCourcy joined us, as always. We'll also be talking to Alec Lasley. Get some updates on Indiana, as well as, say it with me, A.J. Moye. Looking forward to it. Saw A.J. over the weekend, out and about. Into the Thunderdome, baby. That's right. Appreciate you guys being here. How are things going? We got a lot going on. The Chipotle National start tomorrow. There are a ton of visitors in to see IU basketball. We'll get all that covered with Alec when he joins us later. This is actually, we've actually reached 2,000 shows, but we have been so busy that we have not had time to think about celebrating it. So we'll maybe do that as the week goes by. Hopefully, but appreciate having you here with us along for the ride. Hit the like button, and you can go ahead and subscribe if you're on Facebook. But, of course, many of you listening on one of our great affiliates like 97.7 ESPN, The Ref, Always the Right Call in Evansville, or The Voice of the Region, 1230 AM, 104.7 FM, WJOB, and in Fort Wayne on Fort Wayne's only sports station, 1380 The Fan. Keep it locked right here all day. Don't go anywhere else. Thanks again for being with us. A couple of shout-outs. Met some great people over the weekend. Jason and Gretchen McCormick were in from West Virginia and had a great conversation with them. Gretchen is a Bloomington native. And Jason is a big-time Indiana fan from a little further up north. But and it was great to meet them. Great to meet, always great to meet people. I appreciate when I'm out. And, yeah, don't be shocked. Say hello. And I'm always humbled, but appreciate it much. The McDonald's All-Americans were announced, and... And then definitely an Indiana flavor with Braylon Mullins. You had Jalen Harrelson. And he's not an Indiana connection, so to speak, but Malachi Moreno, who played on the Indiana elite team last summer, along with several others, the Boozer brothers. I love that. But on our thumbnail today for the show, for AJ's appearance, I used my favorite sports photo, second favorite sports photo behind Muhammad Ali, but of AJ Moye blocking Carlos Boozer in Rupp Arena in the regional round of the NCAA tournament back in 2002. So, looking forward to a lot going on, and even more so as thehoosier.com is in the process of moving over to On3. That's a big-time move coming here today. So you guys will be getting a lot more inside information as we go forward, and looking forward to that. The visits are actually happening today, Richard. I know that I was under that impression as well, but I believe that the visits are actually today. I believe that Darren DeVries is meeting with Trent Sisley today because he begins play in the Chipotle Nationals tomorrow. Not sure if DeVries will be up there. Last year, I think it must have been a closed period because I don't recall seeing any coaches up there. So no big, but they can get that in today along with the others that are coming in, which are plenty. Let's see. Conwell, I believe, is coming in. And many others. Alec Lasley will be along to discuss that when they get here. So looking forward to that as well. Tim Garl, man, I hate that story. Tim Garl will not be retained by IU as the team trainer, but he was a lot more than that. And I hate to see that end that way. Someone who has dedicated so much of their life to a program, to a place. He's one of the guys I know that all the players would, that's like the first person they would reach out to or get to see. David says it seems that Indiana's new coach has already missed on a lot of the best players. Did we get a mid-major coach? I'm a little confused. Who's been missed on? Yeah, that's a confusing post. I don't understand that, and I disagree with that. I don't know who. I don't think that is the case at all. This is so early in the portal process. I don't think that'll be happening. But we've got to take a quick break. When we return, on the other side, the great Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News, Big Ten Network, and Fox will join us. Appreciate you being with us on this fine Tuesday. We're back with more from the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios right after these messages. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Tuesday. Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News, Big Ten, and Fox Networks joins me. Mike, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Jim. How are you?
Rocking the Pacers, baby.
Absolutely. How about that?
Absolutely. They're still rolling. They're holding down that fourth place spot, trying to stay deep into the playoff hunt as they are doing okay. They gave up a game to the Lakers, which was no fun, but came back and scored 2,000 points in the game. I was like, wow, what the heck? Save some of those, man. We are in Final Four week, so there will be a lot of people down in San Antonio, a lot of coaches, a lot of assistant coaches, but all of that stuff doesn't mean a lot to Indiana as all of that is kind of taken care of. I assume that Darren DeVries will go there just because of coaches' meetings and all that, but he's very, 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 very busy with the portal right now trying to get a new roster put together.
No doubt. I don't know whether or not he'll – some coaches pass on that now. It's an individual thing. It depends on what they have going on. There is a dead period for the Final Four relative to the portal. It's one of the reasons I think you're seeing a lot of activity the last couple of days in terms of player commitment, because there is a window for this to get done as traditional in 3 years, NIL. The House settlement is supposed to be approved fairly soon. I think it's around April 8th. I'm not positive that's the day, but it's around
April 7th, I think.
April 7th, there you go. And there's a dead period. So some of this stuff has to get done fairly quickly, and that's why you saw so much activity relative to commitments on Monday. There were significant commitments for a variety of programs, including Purdue, which got a new big guy. You saw that happen, and you saw.
You mean the portal? You mean Purdue got a player out of the portal?
The sky is falling. I will tell you, Jim, that one of the things that I think I find very interesting, and that you don't hear a lot about relative to what wins in college basketball, is you don't hear people acknowledge that. Look, you have to be aware of what's in the portal, and you have to fill the needs that develop in your program, either because of early entry to the NBA draft or the conclusion of players' careers, or it's hard to find a high school player who can fit the need that you might have relatively immediately. Whatever the source of the need is, you have to be aware of the portal as an option and have to be successful when it's necessary. But if that's all you're doing, Jim, if that's the only way you're doing it, you're not in San Antonio. That's not how they're doing it. That's not how UConn did it. It's not how Purdue did it in 2024, making the championship game. The teams that are the most successful are building still through high school and developing those players, whether it is a Cooper Flagg, the number one player in the class, or it is someone like Donovan Klingon, who I think when he went to UConn was rated around 43, but was a two-year pro. He was 2 years and he's out. Whatever it is, you have to find those players and you have to develop them and you have to build a culture that is successful with them. If you don't, you're watching this deal. You're not playing in it. If you look at it, that's where the majority of teams are building their success that are getting this far. I'm not saying that Kentucky basically was almost 100% portal this year. Now that was by necessity. I don't think that's what they eventually want to be, but they walked into an empty gym. They could either build. And they walked into an empty gym and into an empty recruiting circumstance. It's not like you can say, well, that's okay. We'll go out and get some high school guys in April. There aren't any then. So they had to build the way they built. And they built a nice season. They did well. But that's not how Kentucky wants to be in the future, because they understand as well as anyone. They're very strategic about how they approach their construction of their rosters. And who fits and who doesn't, and how you want to win. And they understand what I'm talking about, that, yeah, you want to be able to complement through the portal, but it can't be the main source of how you do things. If it is, you'll be the first one if you make it to the Final Four and succeed. If you leave, you know, having played in the championship game or winning it, you'll be the first one that did it like that.
Brian says Purdue's transfer is the second leading rebounder in Division I at 7.6 points and 12.3 boards a game with 22 double-doubles. How does someone like Matt Painter, who does not use the portal, use it so effectively when he does?
Well, that's what I think. Like this, like I said, he understands how to do it. I mean, it's not – we can go all the way back to John Octius. What year was that? That he was a grad transfer. I think that was around 2018 or something like that. So he was never, it was never about, we won't do that. It's that they won't do only that. They won't emphasize that over the construction of their roster from a high school perspective. John was 2015. So we're talking about 10 years ago. that he needed a point guard, and he went through what was the 2015 version of the portal, which was the grad transfer route. And John did a nice job for Purdue that year. Started 34 games, gave them a lot of what they needed, was a really good defensive player. He wasn't the ultimate creative point guard, and that certainly held that team from being a stronger bunch than it was. But he helped them hold things together and get to the tournament after they had missed a few years. So I think that we've seen Matt be very strategic about that. Lance Jones hit the biggest shot maybe in Purdue basketball since 1969, when Rick Mount was hitting a ton of them. That shot against Tennessee was the biggest shot of the season in 2024, and he hit it, and he was a portal guy, but one of the few on that team. They already had a really good intact roster, but they had the need for another ball handler, another offensive asset, and he delivered that. Was terrific in his 1 year as a Boiler. So what I wonder about is this young man who's such a phenomenal rebounder. I mean, I haven't seen him play, but he's not a phenomenal shot blocker, which is the thing that Purdue lacked this year. And I don't think that he does a ton of stretching the offense. So who exactly how they're going to use him, I'm very curious to see relative to the great low post play they get out of Trey Kaufman-Wren.
Yeah, and there are plenty of guys out there that, and that's so many more out there this year. I would imagine that makes it more difficult to sift through, because that's so much more that you have to look through. It's like going to, you know, a super Walmart store instead of your local grocery store, where you kind of know right where everything is. Right? Now you're like, where am I going? It's like it's just. I know it's a silly analogy, but the amount of players that are in it, it's like, wow, how it's even for seasoned people, it's hard to navigate.
It's true. I knew every inch of the Fisher's Kroger. I'm telling you, I had the whole roadmap when I used to shop there. So,
and you go the same way. You do the same thing every time.
I always went backward through, you know. I my wife would go right toward the fruit and vegetables. I would go left toward the drugs and the pharmaceutical aisle, because that's where I would start, get toothpaste and all that kind of stuff. I knew exactly how to do it, and so I know what you're talking about. I think that it does complicate it when there's more players. That's why different schools are having what are essentially front office staffs, because it's hard for the head coach to keep track of all of that. You're seeing more programs hire general managers. It's a really hard job. You have to be aware of so much, and you have to also, it depends on each individual school how they manage this, but there also has to be the player maintenance, player retention element of that. You don't want your guys leaving without having gotten the most out of them or prematurely. You want your guys to stay if they fit what you do and they are good teammates. So you have to make sure that the players who do leave are players that you're okay with them leaving. You don't want to lose players that you like. For instance, UCLA had a great success at the end of last week, brought in Donovan Dent as a point guard from New Mexico, probably the best player that will be in the portal this year. Got a lot of All-America votes with the Sporting News, came close to making the team. He came into UCLA, and then a few days later, Adai Mara, their 7'3 center, it's being reported now that he wants to go the opposite direction and leave. So both elements of that are important, not just acquisition, but retention.
Yeah, and something else I just thought of with all of these, where are we now with the number of players in the portal?
I've lost track. I'll be honest. I don't know. Probably more than 1,000.
Oh, it's over. I think it's over 2,000.
Well,
with that many and it being the most ever quickly, it starts to really dawn on me. Do all these guys land somewhere?
We have seen reports in the last few years that they don't all. And I think that some of the ones who do this will go all the way through the revolving door and go back to where they came from. When they see what you have, effectively, you should be in the portal to know what is out there value wise for you. You shouldn't be getting offers without having entered your name. I know it happens that agents are contacted with offers. Hey, if your guy goes in, he'll get X million from us, whatever it might be. That does happen. But ideally, especially at the volume level, the mid-major, the low major, they're going in to see what's out there for them. How much can I get? And when and if they find out that it's not that much or there's no interest in them, then they can try to circle back. But you better make sure that before you do that, you have an understanding with the program that you're where you currently reside, that they'll be open to that. Because we have seen players come back around and say, hey, I want to come back. And you're like, nah, we're good. We're good. Go find another place.
They also visit the portal and you could be quote unquote recruited over in essence.
Yes, absolutely.
As they say in the old days, because I wouldn't be sitting pat if I was a coach and I had an open spot. I'm like, I got to get that spot filled.
Yeah, it depends on like how many guys you have and what
or how good the guy is
and how good that player is and how good the player you might be able to replace him with is. He would have to be a pretty special player, though, for you to take the chance on letting go of someone you think can approximate what that player provided. If I've got a guy who averaged 16 for me and there's someone in the portal that I think can do 13 or 14, I'm not sure I'm waiting. I'm going to take the, and that player's interested. If I can get him, I'm taking the 13, 14 guy and saying goodbye to the 16, no matter what. I don't think that most of the circumstances are quite that fruitful. I think usually if someone's leaving that they're probably going to be attractive to the high major school or to a more lucrative school, but not always. You never really know until you go out there. But once you find out, you may learn that the circumstance that you left is much better than anything you can find.
And Laurie brings up a good point. Laurie asking, do these players even go for a degree or do they just come and play ball? The first thing that pops into my head are these players that have been to four different schools. I know credits don't always transfer, so that has to pile up. There should have to be something that says you have to be on track for a degree.
Well, it's still out there, Jim. I mean, it's still part of the deal. You still have to make progress. The APR still exists. You still have to make progress. Do they all finish 4 years if they're transferring that often with degrees? Of course not. If you play 4 years and you go 2-2, you're probably in decent shape to get a degree, or you get one of the two. If you play 4 years at one place, it's hard not to get a degree because you get all the summers to make up for either any stumbles or to get ahead. So if you're paying it at any attention at all and you care at all, and you go through the 4 years, even if you go to more than two schools, you should get to the end having, you know, maybe being a year away, a year and a half away. And now you've got enough money to be able to pay for a year or two on your own. And there are, if the school you finish up at might offer to complete your degree as well, that might be an option in your NIL deal or whatever, or your rev share deal. So, I mean, I don't know what the graduation rates will be once we've been through this a few times, but I do believe that if you want to get it, you can still get it. And if you don't care about getting it, you probably didn't care for 10 years ago.
Michael says he saw that Nigel Pack is back in the portal. Is he on the Hunter Dickinson plan? I had no idea he was still in college basketball. He should have a PhD by now, if that is actually the case.
I think the problem was that he got injured and now he's looking for a red shirt.
Of course he is.
Yeah, so I think that's how he potentially has another year. I believe there might be a COVID year involved in that. I I have to look at what his situation is. He was a COVID year player, 2021, played four seasons, and this past year should have been his COVID year, but he only played nine games because of injury. So he should be eligible for a medical hardship waiver for that extra year, and I suppose he'll pursue it somewhere else. I don't think he'll be quite as coveted this time as he was the last time, but he's still a very capable player. He's been basically a 13-point-a-game player his entire career, and a relatively, somewhere between 40 and 39% from three-point range. So there will certainly be a spot for him somewhere, presuming he gets all through the hardship process.
Yeah, there's no doubt that he probably will pass that with flying colors if he only played in nine games, especially if they were on the front end, unlike Luke Goodies, who were on the back end and played in an NCAA tournament game. So a big difference there. I saw that Oklahoma hired Trey Young as their GM for basketball operations. Yeah, that just came out. And that shows, I guess, to me, Oklahoma was not one of the dominant teams in basketball in the SEC this year, although the SEC was the dominant conference. But they want to be. And that, when did that come out? Yesterday. Oklahoma Sooners have hired former Sooners player and Atlanta Hawks star Trey Young as an assistant GM for men's basketball. Assistant GM, I'm sorry.
You know, he's got another job, right? We do know that.
That's what I was wondering. So how can you play and be an assistant GM for a college?
Yeah, I think it seems a little honorary. And maybe
it's a long, maybe it comes with that $1 million pledge of donation that.
I think there may be in time if Trey's interested where he can contribute greatly in such a role. Nice young man, really like him. Didn't like the way he was handled by the media at the end of his college career at all. I don't know that he's got a lot of time to contribute a ton as an assistant GM when you're playing 100 games a year and getting ready to play 100 games a year in the NBA. We'll see.
Well, according to the story, he is supposed to assist with the evaluation of high school and transfer portal prospects, help negotiate player contracts, and guide players in building their brands. That sounds like a lot for a part-time job.
It sounds like that maybe he'll watch some film. Maybe, I don't know. And maybe he'll say, hey, it's Trey, the guy who scored 100 points in a game. Yeah, me. Yeah, I want you to come to Oklahoma. Maybe that's what it comes down to. I don't know. I just don't see how anyone who has a full-time job could enter this. Remember, we're talking about these kinds of jobs being so consuming that people are walking away from them. So how exactly would he have enough time to contribute greatly in that role? I have my doubts. Like I said, post hoops wouldn't surprise me at all if he became a successful executive either in college hoops or the NBA. A bright young man, really like him, but I don't think he's got enough time to contribute greatly to Oklahoma basketball as an assistant GM.
Well, and yesterday we saw that Andrew Young had hired Frank Reich as the one-year interim coach at Stanford, which, I don't know, was odd. Why would you hire an interim coach for a year?
I don't know. What
the hell does that mean?
I think Andrew is majoring in strange timing, right? Retired 2 weeks before the NFL season was supposed to start, or 3 weeks before. Now he's firing a football coach who clearly had difficult seasons. Firing him in basically what the time of year when most people are firing basketball coaches. He says, hey, let's throw a football coach out there as well. So I don't know what Andrew's up to. I don't get it at all. I don't understand why you would do that. And I haven't seen anything to indicate that there was anything other than the former coach wasn't successful. But he wasn't successful in January, February, or March either, Jim. Why now? Well,
didn't he have some issues pop up? I forget what it was, but I thought that there were some things that came up is what actually prompted that. Yeah, I'm not saying that the seasons were great, but I think there were some issues that may have popped up.
If that's what if there were issues, then I get it. Then I was not aware of the fact that that there have been allegations against him. If that's the case, then yes. And why would you hire an interim then? Okay, so I will tell you. After I was unaware of the, because the initial reports were just that he had made the move. Now that we see this, I understand it. And why would you hire Frank to do a 1-year deal? He's a great football coach, terrific job, and you're not going to get the best of what you want to drive the program forward at this time of year. It's that simple. Everybody's locked down. So that makes sense. I apologize for not being aware of the allegations. That being the case, like I've said many times, relative to midseason firings, there better be something wrong if you're going to do that. I thought that in the case of Indiana, they needed to change and they needed to make a change at the time they did, but they handled it right in terms of that coach should finish the season. And Mike did, and they did, and that was the right way to go because everybody kind of needed a resolution that followed the program one way or the other, and they got it. And now they've got a new coach, and Mike was allowed to finish out the way he should have been able to finish out, with the exception of the fact that they got a raw deal relative to NCAA selection.
Yeah, and so now, and we got the Final Four coming up this week. But and then we have Kevin Willard moving on from Maryland, which a coach moving on in and of itself is not a shocker, but being at Maryland in the Big Ten, pretty good landing spot. It's not, Villanova is not a better landing spot. This had more to do with other things than moving up, I think.
Yeah, I suspect, and I don't know this for certain, but usually when you have some leverage, which he did because of the Villanova opening and the Villanova interest, I suspect he tried to leverage that for the improvements in the Maryland program that he wanted, the greater share of revenue, the greater hunk, how do you say, greater share of the revenue share, you know? I mean, but that's kind of what, it sounds redundant, but it's not, relative to basketball. I think they wanted some improvements elsewhere, and I suspect that when he obtained the leverage based on the Villanova opening, that he tried to use it and that he was rebuffed. That's my suspicion, because the first step is never to go public. The first step is to privately try to work your leverage to get what you want, and then it gets announced that you are staying with a contract extension or the improvements that might need to be made, whatever it might be. What I told you in advance relative to Dusty May and that there would be a contract extension announced before they came to Indianapolis for the Big Ten tournament. It happened in like 5 days because he had some leverage. The job was open. And let's make sure that things are locked down and everything spruced up here so I can stay where I am and where I want to be. And that's what happened. And I think I suspect that's what Kevin tried to do and did not get the answer that he wanted. And I think that's when he decided to take it public so that it was clear that he wasn't leaving Maryland because he thought Villanova was better. He was leaving Maryland because he thought Maryland was not as good as it could be. And I think that's what happened. And at Villanova, he will have what he's looking for relative to resources and facilities and those sorts of things. And the one problem relative to the two jobs is that the Maryland job is a slightly more comfortable job than the Villanova job. Every job has pressure. Every program wants to be in the NCAA tournament and then the Sweet 16 and then the Final Four and then maybe win it. There's all of that out there. And some of the programs expected it to be possible. And I think Maryland is one of those that expects it to be possible. It's been a while since they've been in the Final Four, but they've been there. They know what it's like. They know what it's like to either be in or to be a strong contender to get there. And so, but it's not like at Villanova where Jay Wright not only won two championships in the last 10 years, he's also still right there, Jim. I mean, he's young enough that if he wanted, he could still be coaching. And so that specter can be uncomfortable. I think it's part of what led Villanova to make the change as quickly as they did with Kyle Neptune. That specter of, hey, look where we've been. I mean, we were just there. How are we already here? And so I don't think that Kevin's going to struggle as much as Kyle did. His track record says that he won't, but there is that out there that, you know, following Mark Turgeon, more or less, it's a lot different than following Jay Wright, if you get my drift.
Coolio says he'd likes to hear what Mike has to say about Kevin Willard and the reports that he and his staff were recruiting portal for Villanova in the final weeks. Well, reports, or have they been substantiated, is the first thing I would say.
It depends on who. I mean, if that listener has a source of the reports, who was reporting that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If they were substantiated, that's different than just,
I mean, but like if the source of the report, if it's a Jeff Goodman saying that, then I'm listening, or Seth Davis or someone like that, Matt Norlander, if they are saying it, okay, then I'm interested. If it's
coming on a fan board.
Yes, exactly what I was going to say. If it's something from a message board, I wouldn't give it as much credibility. I suspect that that's probably not true. I think that they were certainly moving in the direction. As I mentioned before, my suspicion is that when he went to try to get more for the program, that he did not get a positive response. And so I think at that point, it was pretty likely he was going to Villanova. And at that point, you're not necessarily working the portal personally, but you have people that are looking at that stuff, certainly. And so ultimately, if the people that were doing that scouting on tape and all of that are following you to Villanova, then you can say, I guess technically, that they were doing the work for Villanova, but it wasn't officially for Villanova until he accepted the job, whatever Saturday or Sunday or whatever day it was.
We've got to take a break. We've got the great Mike DeCourcy with us from the Sporting News, Big Ten, and Fox Networks. When we come back, we'll talk about the crown tournaments underway. Darren DeVries is out and about filling up his staff and trying to fill a roster as well. Back with more from the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios right after these messages. Welcome back. I just got not paying attention there. How about them apples? Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios. Mike DeCourcy with us on this fine Tuesday. We're celebrating 2,000 shows, Mike. I keep forgetting.
Oh, wow. So congratulations. Big.
Thank you. It's I forget. We're a lot of stuff going on right now, so I can't even. That's the least of my focus, unfortunately. I'd love to have been able to celebrate that this week, but the Hoosier.com has moved to On3, has become a part of the On3 network. So very excited about that as
awesome.
Well.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. The Chipotle Nationals going on in Indianapolis beginning tomorrow. Trent Sisley, Montverde, one of the teams there, amongst many others. The McDonald's All-Americans team was just announced, and half of that roster will be in Indianapolis, I would say.
Yeah, that's sort of the way the high school game is going, more and more toward the elite prep school route. I think there are good things and bad things about that. I still wonder about the value of becoming a role player that early in your career. I think there's a value to doing what was done over the weekend at the field house and winning a state championship and having to be the person that is carrying that team, that is fighting through the tough circumstances. A Cooper Flag goes to Montverde. Okay, great. because Cooper Flagg's going to be the best player on whatever floor he walks onto. But I do think that, and the place like Montford, I don't know the new coach, but I knew Kevin Boyle both as a coach and a person, and highly believed in him as a coach. So I know that they're getting good coaching, but I do think there can be a downside to being a role player that early in your career. I think that's affected the progression of American prospects through the last half decade or so, that trend toward everybody being a part of one of those programs. And when I say everybody, I mean so many of the elite players. I think that there's a value to being the man in high school basketball, because you're going to be a role player soon enough. But you have to, but to be a difference maker at the college level, you have to be a difference maker at the high school level. And if all they're asking you to do at the high school level is screen and do dribble handoffs and maybe get the odd offensive rebound, it's not necessarily a great thing for developing you at the next level. If you're a role player in high school, you're going to be a role player in college, and maybe you'd be a role player in the NBA. Maybe. I just remember watching Billy Owens in high school when he was a freshman win a state championship in Pennsylvania and then do that three more times, going from the third or fourth best player on his high school team as a freshman, but the most talented. Jeff Lebo was on that team. And then by the time he's a senior, he's the man, and it's all going through him, and he's got to carry that. I think that's missed. I think the guys who stay with their high schools have an advantage, Jim, unless you're a Flag and it doesn't matter where you are, it's going to be built around you.
And oddly enough, I saw Derek Queen. He threw out the first pitch for the Baltimore Orioles baseball game yesterday, but he was like non-committal on his future. And I'm like, is there a doubt what he's doing? He's going to the NBA, right?
I would think, I think he will. He's going to be probably a top 10, top 12 pick, but I do think he's undervalued, and maybe that changes through the pre-draft process. And he goes and then they realize what he is as a prospect. He's a phenomenal prospect, Jim, vastly underrated. I don't know why he's not talked about in the top three or four prospects. I don't understand it. I think some of it has to do with presumptions about his body type. I think the same presumptions that they probably made when they drafted Jokic, 40th? How'd that turn out? I think Derek Queen's a phenomenal prospect. And the fact that his coach left his school makes it that much less likely that he would pull a shocker and stay. I know he loves Maryland. I know he loves where he's from. But I'd be really surprised if he did play another year.
Well, I'd be surprised if he played another year at Maryland as well or State. He was too good. You could just watch him and say, that dude, he's a first-rounder already. And I know that we were seeing a lot of players staying in college because of NIL. The guys that can get the first-round picks are usually not those guys that are staying in.
Yeah, I think the last player that I can remember that would have been a first-round pick who stayed was Miles Bridges. That was all the way back in 2017. So I don't expect that that'll happen. I know it's been brought up with Jace Richardson as well at Michigan State. But like I said, it's been almost a decade now since that happened. I don't have any recollection of any other player who was a no-doubter first-rounder staying in school. I thought it helped Miles. I thought he became a better player as a result of doing it. It didn't make a huge difference in his draft stock, but getting to the second contract and being successful is really important, especially now that the draft is not the only money out there. I mean, if you can make $2-3 million in college, that's more than you'll make if you can. Now, I don't know that you can, but if you can, that's more than you'll make at certain portions of the draft. At a certain point, 1, 2, 3, I don't think there's any colleges that are touching what they pay you for 1, 2, or 3. But you get down around 9, 10, 11, 12, it starts to be pretty competitive. So if you are in that range between 10 and 15 and you can get a good deal to stay in college, and you think that you can improve yourself to that range that I'm talking about. I mean, maybe Derek Queen comes back, just playing devil's advocate here, academic exercise. But if Derek Queen comes back and the pros wake up and they say, like, how did we think this guy was the 10th or 12th best player when he's so clearly 1, 2, or 3? Well, probably next year he'd be 2 or 3 because AJ DeVance is coming in. But I think he's a phenomenal prospect. And so if they don't value him at that, I could understand at least exploring the possibility of what do I get if I stay? What do I get if I go?
Yeah, it is interesting to see. I never even considered the fact that he would be back. I just thought that was, he's like Danny Wolf to me, which Danny Wolf's not a freshman. I understand that, but I don't even know how old Danny Wolf is or what.
That was his junior year that we just saw completed. Yeah, 2 years at Yale and then the one there.
Man, he's obviously a very intelligent guy. You get into Yale, first of all, that says enough. But then Michigan's also a difficult school to get into. And so does he come back? Because he is also a first rounder. You're looking at him going, you know any other 7-foot point guards out there?
Yes. And I think, again, it's just you go through the process. You find out for real what the teams think of you. You get the experience of going through the process so that if you feel compelled to do it again, you know what it's like. I've always been an advocate, Jim, of having covered that process on numerous occasions, especially back when it was pre-draft camp. I've been to the combine once, but when it was the pre-draft camp, before they changed to the combine, I covered it a dozen times maybe. And I saw the value in being there and going through that and learning. I always called it like a short summer internship for basketball players. So in Danny's case, I think you absolutely go through the process and find out what they do think of you. If the mocks are right, I think you have to seriously think about it, because if you are a top 20 pick or so, then yeah, you've get a chance to get into a team. It's not like you're lacking maturity. You're already 21 years old or so. There's a chance they're going to value you less at 22 than they do at 21. Pros are pretty skittish about that. They've got numbers that suggest that that's, I think it's mostly nonsense, Jim. I was talking to a basketball coach who's now an analyst last week, and he was talking about how upside and all this. And I said, wait a second, hold on a second. If you look at it, look at the players who have over time gone into the league as seniors and what have they done. Damian Lillard, when he got into the NBA, having played as a senior at Weber State, averaged like 19 points his rookie year. Pretty good, right? No upside on Dame Lillard. By year 7 or 8, he's averaging 30. So he didn't get better. I mean, he was 22 years old when he entered the league and he kept getting better. And I'm not sure he's getting better now because he's kind of plateaued at great. But, I mean, for the first 6 or 7, 8 years of his career, he got better almost every year. His output became better. His performances became better. They mattered more. So it's nonsense to say you can't improve if you enter the league at age 21 or 22 or even 23. You can still improve because we've seen it done over and over and over again. Draymond Green got better after he entered the league, having played as a senior. Draymond Green didn't walk into the league and was the top 1 or 2 defensive players in the league his rookie year. He got better. And by 2015 or 2016, he's that. So I don't like that talk, but I do think that in Danny's case, I think it would be very valuable for him to at least at the very minimum, go through the process and find out what the pros think of him.
Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. Appreciate you as always, my friend.
Thanks, Jim. It was a pleasure.
Always is ours. We've got more coming up. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. Looking forward to talking to Alec Lasley here in a little bit. And say it with me, AJ Moyer. Can't say it without him. You can go to, until we get the Hoosier actually redirected, but you can go directly to the Hoosiers On3 site. It is just, you know, the WWW stuff, but go to on3.com/teams/Indiana-Hoosiers/. I know it's hard for you to remember if you're listening on radio. So well, tomorrow it'll be easy for you. Just go to thehoosier.com. But for those that are viewing on YouTube, you can see it rather easily. The crowd tournament is going on right now. Kind of forgotten about that, to be honest with you, but it's happening. It just started yesterday. Nebraska from the Big Ten was in that. And I see, I had that pulled up a second ago. Where in the world did that thing go? There we go. Even the scores. Butler. How about the Butler Bulldogs, baby? They beat Utah. Pretty good win. 86-84. Boise State over George Washington. Big 89-59. What a snoozer that was. Nebraska gets a win over Arizona State. And then Georgetown played Washington State. It doesn't have the score up here. Today, this afternoon, DePaul just takes on Cincinnati. Oregon State takes on Central Florida. That's followed by Colorado versus Villanova. And then Tulane USC. Does Kevin Willard coach Villanova in this? How does that work? I've been busy with other things and not keeping up with what Kevin Willard is doing, but an odd situation for a team to have a new coach and playing in a tournament. That's kind of odd. But I guess nothing should really be odd anymore in this day and age of college sports, right? We've got the GMs, just all kinds of different positions. That Trey Young thing, yeah, that's probably ceremonial. It has to be because you don't have a lot of time. But, of course, with technology, got a lot. He's got downtime. So it can be done. It can be done. Hey, it's April Fool's Day, but I'm not fooling you. No tricks here. The McDonald's All-American teams were announced, and like I said that earlier, Braylon Mullins from Greenfield Central, Jalen Harrelson, now from La La Mir, formerly of Fishers, on there, in addition to Malachi Moreno, who played for Indiana Elite last year as well. And the Chipotle Nationals get underway tomorrow at Hamilton Southeastern High School. For any Indiana fans, that if you're close enough that you want to go up there, first of all, you're going to see some damn good basketball. These All-Americans, McDonald's All-Americans I just talked about, well, many of them will be there at Chipotle. It's Montverde. It's Prolific Prep. It's Utah. It's all of these teams with these great players on it. So it's actually a very unique opportunity for basketball fans to go out. Plus, if you're an Indiana fan, you can go out and support Trent Sicily, whose team will be playing tomorrow. I understand he is meeting with Darren DeVries today, amongst others. We'll talk with Alec Lasley about that in the next segment. So welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Tuesday. Alec Lasley will be joining us here in just a second from thehoosier.com with On3. That is a big, big change. I hope you guys will be able to go there and check it out. The redirect is not up yet with just by using thehoosier.com, but it will soon be there. Alec Lasley, the managing editor of thehoosier.com with On3, joining us now. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing, Jim?
Oh, you know, just peaches and cream, baby. Peaches and cream on this Tuesday. I was just talking about thehoosier.com and joining with On3. How soon do you expect that people can just go to the Hoosier.com and that redirect will be there?
Yeah, it should be up later this morning, but I know you have the direct link right now below. So, you know, we have nearly a dozen different stories up already. Mix of basketball, mix of football, recruiting. So tons of content already up on the site and ready for everyone.
Yeah, part of which is Connor Enright. You've got these visits, a lot of visits today, right?
Yeah, so Josh Dix got to campus late last night. He's doing the majority of his visit today. Connor Enright doing the majority of his visit today as well. And that will probably bleed a little bit into Wednesday. And then Ryan Conwell was yesterday. So, you know, busy week before the dead period hits later on this week where visits aren't going to be allowed. So a lot of guys trying to get everything kind of finalized this week. I wouldn't be surprised if you see you know, just around the country, a lot of different portal commitments over the next kind of 72 hours. A lot's going on with the NIL kind of legislation and settlement as well later this week. So a lot of kids want to get their NIL deals all finalized before that goes through. So this is going to be a busy week for a lot of guys around the country.
Yeah, I know Trent Sisley is actually supposed to be meeting with Darren DeVries today as well because – tomorrow the dead period begins, I think, right?
Later on this week. Yeah. So
Thursday.
Yeah. Thursday. And then runs through the 11th. So, about a week long stretch there. So a couple days. Left.
Would you expect to see Darren DeVries at Chipotle since it's right in the backyard? And I know that there are some uncommitteds there.
I don't know. It'll depend. Because Connor Enright still is going to run a little bit through Wednesday. We'll see, you know, how long that truly stretches. We'll see. There's obviously going to be a big push to get as many guys on campus this week over the next, again, 72 hours. He made, obviously, the appearance at the state championship game. He made the obviously going to have the visit with Trent Sisley. They've already spoken multiple times. I don't know if it's necessarily something that he has to do in order to kind of make that presence. I think he's already made that known. So I think it's going to be kind of full steam ahead with solidifying the full staff, solidifying kind of the next couple of targets that they want obviously to get on campus and making sure that they're doing everything they can to build out a team, which obviously needs to be fully built out at this point.
Yeah, and even though he kind of had a head start getting hired and then being ahead of the curve, with having to put together the staff and all of that, didn't really give them that head start they were looking for, I don't believe.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, the majority of the staff was probably already kind of known through back channels, right? Now it's just kind of going through, you know, all the HR you know, necessities to make sure the background checks and everything is kind of solidified, but it's more or less a formality at this point with the majority of the staff. You know, we've started to see names kind of, you know, dribble out here. Obviously, Norton was with DeVries at the state championship game. We saw Drew Adams at the state championship game. Those are two guys that are expected to be part of this staff. So, you know, whether or not it's officially announced, there's the majority of the staff, if not the entirety of it, kind of put together at this point. And it's probably just waiting on a, you know, couple small little things before they make that formal announcement. But Indiana is going to plan on announcing this all together instead of, you know, one at a time. So that's why it's taking a little bit longer just to get everything out there in front of everyone.
Yeah. And I believe the staff is filled. The fourth guy, or I shouldn't say fourth, third assistant, Drew Adams was already, we saw him at the state finals. We saw, Nick Norton at the state finals. And who is the fourth
or the third? Well, nothing's been made official yet. So we're still waiting on a few of those names to kind of be solidified.
Absolutely. So now Indiana, I know a lot of people are a little fearful that somebody mentioned earlier that they thought Indiana had missed out on some guys already. And I don't know that that's the case because it's players are going places, yeah, but I don't know that you're necessarily missing out on guys.
Yeah, no, and again, a lot of this stuff is going on through back channels, whether or not, you know, anyone hears about it. So when guys enter the portal, we see all the time that there's already maybe five or six programs that are already mentioned because all this stuff happens on the back end, and there's a lot less work that needs to happen kind of more outwardly than through those back channels. A lot of these guys kind of know midway through the year, if not towards the end of the year, one, whether they're going to enter the portal or not, and then two, kind of where they're getting some interest from already. A lot of these kids already have agents, so a lot of that stuff goes through them to kind of set up the first part of their initial kind of surge in the portal. But I mean, you look at what they've been able to do just this week, right, with Conwell, Josh Dix, and then Connor Enright. A lot of that starts with relationships. Obviously, Josh Dix, if people don't know the relationship there, he played on the AAU circuit with Tucker DeVries, was recruited very heavily by Darren DeVries when he was at Drake. And that relationship is very, very well established. And then you look into, obviously, Connor Enright played at Drake with Darren DeVries, played alongside Tucker DeVries. So that relationship is already very, very firm in itself. Both are still going to be recruitments that Indiana needs to put forth a lot of effort in. By no means is anything, you know, a walk in the park, especially when it comes to the transfer portal nowadays. But those are two, right, if you're looking at, you know, any in terms of a relationship aspect of why Indiana was able to get involved right away. You look at Connor Enright, he's coming off of a visit to Iowa. It's pretty much going to come down to those two programs at this point. We'll see if he does decide to take any additional visits. But again, with that dead period coming up, it's either going to need to be right away or things are going to be pushed out another week, week and a half before you kind of get that visit and then obviously get a decision at some point then. And then you look at Josh Dix, Illinois, Creighton, Kansas, kind of the main programs there, all have been visited by Josh Dix, and now kind of finalizing that visit train with Indiana today. What would assume a decision would likely come very quick for him with all those visits already taken. It doesn't sound like that's going to be a long one that'll really kind of go past the next, you know, maybe 48 hours, and it's pretty much let's get done with Indiana, let's look at everything and finalize things. And then Ryan Conwell, obviously the big connection there is with Texas, played obviously under Sean Miller at Xavier. Now Xavier no longer has either Ryan Conwell or Sean Miller. So the big thing with that is whether or not he will follow Sean Miller down to Texas. There's a expected to be a visit there following this Indiana one. Louisville's been mentioned. They look to be, you know, heavily in the mix for a lot of other transfer guards as well. Just got Wooley in the transfer portal yesterday, one of the top kind of combo guards there. Mikkel Brown's obviously coming in, a five-star who ended up winning the McDonald's All-American three-point contest last night. So they have a lot of guard-heavy production already on the roster. Doesn't seem to be a perfect fit for what Ryan Conwell's looking for. So this may be an Indiana-Texas battle to see if he does follow Sean Miller or not. But, you know, Indiana's got to be pretty happy with kind of what they have at the core with these kind of four guys, including obviously Tucker DeVries, who's, you know, by all accounts, just a formality at this point to end up in Bloomington.
And of that core group, what would that bring to Indiana? What would that bring to Darren DeVries and what he is wanting to do in his first season in Bloomington?
Yeah, shooting, right? I mean, he talked about this.
What is that?
Exactly. So, I mean, this is one thing that, you know, he's really stressed is having, you know, plenty of depth is what he called it at the shooting areas. So that's pretty much anywhere on the perimeter. But these are guys who, you know, shot 37%, 38%+ from three. You look at Josh Dix, 42% or 3-point shooter for his career. Tucker DeVries was up near 47% last year. High volume guy as well. Ryan Conwell, obviously another terrific shooter, both at Indiana State and then at Xavier last year. So that obviously translated to the next level. And then Connor Enright's kind of the one guy who, is not known as a true knockdown shooter, but has a really good ability to do that. Shot about 38% when he did play, which was his best shooting season, his second year at Drake. So you know he can produce in the Darren DeVries system and offense, but he's more of the facilitator and the true point guard that's going to get all these guys open looks. Had a phenomenal assist rate of over 35% last year at DePaul. And if you're relating that to kind of what Trey Galloway was able to do as obviously the main point guard for this Indiana team over the last 2 years, he was only at 19% for an assist rate last year. And then Yogi Ferrell never above 30% for his career. So kind of two of the top point guards there from an Indiana passing perspective, never even sniffed where Connor Enright was from an assist rate. And that was obviously playing with, you know, arguably what's going to be probably not as much talent with DePaul. So already knows the system, already has a skill set. And then obviously his shooting percentage was something that, you know, really, really was at an all-time high when he played in the system previously.
And that is nothing but great news for Indiana basketball fans. What does Darren DeVries look for in his middle guy, in his five? I hate to call him a five, but in this day and age of a lot of positionless basketball, but there's still the big guy. The big guy's still involved. How does Darren DeVries use that?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a more versatile and athletic front court than what Indiana fans have been used to, which is kind of more of the traditional back it down post presence. You're still going to have the shot blocking ability, right? But it's going to be more of a kind of fluid athleticism and true length than it is, you know, width and girth and strength. It's not going to be kind of your traditional Big Ten pounded in the paint offense, right? So you're going to have more of a free flowing offensive set. You're going to have more four around one, if not five out at times. But this is going to be a team that again is going to be very perimeter oriented and very guard heavy with their ability to have, you know, a few different playmakers on the floor, but more so again shooters to be able to spread the floor and eliminate, you know, some of that clogged production that we've obviously been used to from an Indiana offense over the last 8 years. With again those very traditional back to the basket on the block big guys, so it's going to be vastly different from that, a way more athletic modern sense of the true five there.
And I'm not suggesting it, but someone like Derek Queen, because yeah, I know he would work into about anybody, but is that someone that would work into a system like you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, you make the system around Derek Queen. Derek Queen, obviously, we've seen what he can do, right? It's not him trying to fit in. It's more so you trying to fit the pieces around him. That's a guy, if he comes back to college, that's going to be a head-scratching move. Highly doubt that would ever happen. But, I mean, he has the ability to fit in anywhere. I think it's more so for, you know, Indiana now. You're going to see a lot of the top players and the top production coming from one through four, and probably a lot less from your five, which is again not traditional from the Indiana perspective, where you had Omar Ballo, even Malik Renew, Khalil Ware, Trace Jackson Davis, right? A lot of these guys who led the team in scoring and production overall were those kind of true centers from the college sense, and didn't really have the ability to step out on the perimeter outside of what Khalil Ware showed from time to time. So this is going to be a vastly different, you know, offensive system, but one that again is built for college basketball today, and one that's going to be built a little bit more for what the Big Ten's trying to get to. Big Ten seems to be kind of the one conference that's a little bit behind when it comes to true perimeter athleticism, and there's a reason why they haven't won a national championship and going on almost three decades, right? So it's something that, you know, needs to be fixed, and this is a system that truly is built for this day and age in college basketball.
Yeah, you think of Purdue a little bit, but at the same time, you think of Purdue, because as good as, say, Braden Smith has been and Fletcher Lawyer, they're not the most athletic guys out in NCAA basketball. And I'm not saying that to harp on Purdue at all. I mean, those are two very, very, very good players. But when they lose, it is because they get out-athleted, I guess you would say.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the biggest thing is yes, you need shooters. Yes, you need good guards. But more oftentimes than not, the bigger guards win out, right? We've seen Alabama kind of flail out a little bit here with Mark Sears. Carolina, which was expected to have a very talented backcourt, two smaller guards, even three if you add in Seth Trimble, right? I mean, it just you look around the country, and a lot of these guard-heavy teams have athletic, long, bigger guards who are 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", who are able to defend multiple positions, but more importantly, attack and get downhill. And that's just not what Indiana has had. It's not what Purdue has. And there's a reason why, they reach a certain point. And obviously, if you don't have a guy like Zach Edey, who's able to absolutely dominate a game, there's only a certain level that you can get to in the ceiling. But again, you look at what Florida has this year, all their guards are obviously tremendous shot makers, but 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", perimeter players. Obviously Duke, Zion James, Tyrese Proctor, 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", right? And you go on and on, and all these Final Four teams have true length and athleticism and size at the guard position, and that's what you need to win college basketball games at this point in this era of college basketball.
And Indiana, not the scholarship limits now go up to 15. And so there are a ton of spots that they can fill. Now with that 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th guy, they're probably going to be just considered bodies, because at the end of the day, nobody is playing more than 10 guys. And actually most get down to a rotation of less than that. It's just for a little bit of depth, hopefully, and practice players now, because I don't think that they're going to have walk-ons at all, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting with how teams do this. I doubt there's going to be a lot of guys, right, who are going to want to be the 15th player on a really good team and not see any time. That's more or less going to be, your new walk-on per se. I'd be surprised if you see a lot of 15 scholarship deep rosters. I just don't think that's what's going to happen. But it does give you the flexibility, right, where you can kind of take a one-year gamble on someone, because, all these players are taking one-year, theoretical contracts, right, in college basketball anymore. So a one-year scholarship isn't going to be a huge deal if you want to take a flyer on maybe a high-potential guy. If he doesn't work out, then it's not going to hurt you. But if he does, then that increases the ceiling of your team drastically from where you probably wouldn't have been if you only had, the two or three less scholarships than what you're going to have moving forward. So I still think you're going to see a lot of teams, 12, 13, kind of the max, still have maybe two walk-ons, just kind of go from that point.
Make sure you go to www.on3.com/teams/Indiana-Hoosiers, and you'll find the new On3 site for the Hoosier.com. Alec Lasley, congratulations, and thank you very much. We'll talk to you.
I appreciate it, Jim. Soon. Absolutely.
We've got lots more coming up from the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios. Jay Moyer, he'll be joining us next. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this beautiful Tuesday. Waiting for AJ Moyer to get his mic and camera connected so I can add him on to us here. It looks like he's in the stream, but mic and camera are still turned off, if you can hear that, AJ. So hopefully we can get that rectified. I'm sure it's a setting issue, but no big deal. We'll get him on as soon as, here we go. You got it, my friend. How are you doing?
Hello.
Yes, sir. How have you been, my man?
Hello, hello, hello.
I can hear you. I can't hear you. Can hear me. Okay, man, I can hear you. So we'll have to wait to get AJ lined out there. Hopefully he can get himself set up. AJ, if you can hear me, I can hear you fine. You just couldn't hear me. So I'll put you back in. And yes, sir, I still hear you. You still can't hear me.
Can't hear this terrible. Dude.
I can't hear that dude. Man, not going well for AJ. hopefully we can get him connected here in a second and he'll reconnect. But looking forward, saw AJ over the weekend at the state finals, and he was down there with on Coach's Row with a lot of other guys watching, taking in the action, but also taking in Jeffersonville. He's good friends with Sherrod Wilkerson, so he enjoyed that. I remember what he took in a couple of games last season for Jeffersonville as they made their run trying to get there. And AJ up at Valpo still as an assistant coach, very much involved with what's going on. And AJ, once you can hear me, let me know.
Hello?
And yes, sir, I can still hear you, crazy. My man. It is crazy. He's a poor dude. It's live, baby. That's what happens when it's live for you. Trust me. And it's been a minute since we had our good friend on, so hopefully we can get him connected here in a second and have him join us. Love to hear what his thoughts are on Darren DeVries. He spent a lot of time talking to him and getting to meet him over the weekend. And I was wondering what his thoughts were on his – he sat next to a couple of his assistants. Just curious on AJ, I know you can you still can't hear me, it looks
you
like.
You can hear me?
I can, brother. Yeah, he cannot hear me. So, whoo, maybe not going to make it happen today. He's having a little microphone trouble. Once we get him on there, I don't think so. I noticed. Yeah, I see that, man. That's what I'm responding to him on a text. I let him know that he said, I can't hear you. I'm like, yeah, I see that. But he's just going to have to get his speakers taken care of, and that's the only way we can get him fixed, hopefully. So hopefully we'll get AJ online. Other than that, don't forget, celebrating 2,000 shows, man. And what a day. What a wackiness to get going here with 2,000 shows. But that's... I don't know how we made it through 2,000 shows with craziness like this, but that's what happens. You just got to roll with the punches. Got to keep punching them in, punching them out. Once he can hear me, he'll let me know, and then I'll know. So what else can we talk about? Yeah, I'm going to be up at the Chipotle Nationals tomorrow, taking in the games, taking in Trent Sisley, and seeing what all that – he can get done. Hopefully, Mont Verde will make it through to the next round. And we'll see how far they can go. It's going to be a lot tougher than he sure can't. It's driving him crazy. And it's driving us crazy, too. Don't worry about it. Don't forget, go to www.on3.com/teams/Indiana-Hoosiers and get hooked up. There's a ton of great stories up there now talking about Connor Enright, talking about a lot of the other visits that are coming in, talking about Fernando Mendoza. There is a ton of great content up there. Josh Dix, that's going to be Indiana looking to add some great players to this roster very, very quickly. Hopefully they get that done as soon as possible and get a roster. But it's going to take a minute to fill 13 spots. I'm not even talking about 15. We're just talking about 13 spots. And I'm going to mute AJ for a minute so if in case he talks. But once he can hear me, he'll be able to pop up. I'll see his head move. But filling all that's a lot of roster spots to fill, but it's not something that other teams haven't had to do. We saw him do it last year. We saw Pat Kelsey do it. We saw Mark Pope do it. We saw Dusty May do it up at Michigan. It's part of the deal now. So fans for Indiana that are worried, don't be. It'll be fine. They'll get the guys put together. It's going to take a minute. He put a pretty damn good team together at West Virginia. I don't think that would be an issue to get done at Indiana. So It'll just take a minute. There, once a player is in the portal and the portal closes, does not mean that they can't continue on. It's just you can no longer enter the portal at that time. That's the only change that makes players. So, you know what? I'm going to do something very unusual. We're going to take an extra break today, only 2 minutes, and we'll be right back. I'm going to try to help AJ out and get him lined out, and we'll be back with more from the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios right after these messages. Andy Moore Honda is Bloomington's number one Honda dealer for a reason. Buy a new Honda and get a 3-month break from car payments. That's right, no payments for 90 days. That includes the all-new, all-electric Honda Prologue, and you get it for just 0.9% financing, or the 2024 Honda Ridgeline Black Edition, or the Honda Accord LX, both for just 1.9% financing. Get more to your door from AndyMoreHonda.com, Bloomington's number one Honda dealer, and your best place for new and used vehicles. Ugly Grouper, located on beautiful Anna Marie Island, Florida, is the place to be, and not just because they have unforgettable meals, including locally sourced seafood. The Ugly Grouper has your favorite craft beers and cocktails, along with live music every day. The Ugly Grouper is family-friendly, able to host private parties, and has the biggest grouper you've ever seen. The Ugly Grouper is the place to be on Anna Marie Island, Florida. Tell them Indiana Sports Beat sent you. Go to theuglygrouper.com for more information. When it comes to apparel and promotions, Freethink has you covered, literally, whether it's 24 or 200 shirts for sports leagues, businesses, or groups. Freethink Apparel and Promotions can also create your very own merchandising store. Freethink Apparel and Promotions did it for Indiana Sports Beat Radio, and they can do it for you. Whether it's screen printing, embroidery, digital printing, promotional products, vehicle wraps, or anything else under the promotional line. See what Freethink Apparel and Promotions can do for you at freethinkapparel.com. Located on 325 acres in beautiful Brown County, Indiana, Hard Truth Distilling Company is the biggest and the best craft distillery around. While Hard Truth is already known for producing internationally awarded whiskeys and spirits like Hard Truth Sour Mash Bourbons, Sweet Mash, and Hard Road Rise, as well as their cinnamon vodka and the always popular toasted coconut rum, Hard Truth Distillery offers so much more. With a full-service restaurant, ATV and distillery tours, as well as live music, you can spend an entire day at Hard Truth Distillery while making your entire family or group happy. And that's the hard truth. Hard Truth products are available across Indiana as well as many other states. So no matter where you shop, if they don't carry your favorite Hard Truth product, tell them you want the truth, the hard truth. Hard Truth Distilling Company encourages you to enjoy all of their products responsibly and to never drink and drive. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Tuesday, and I think we got everything lined out. It's AJ Moye joining me from Valpo. How's it going, my friend?
Man, hold on, man. Look. Hey, I'm brand new to all of this, all of the technology, man. It was something so simple, but I'm glad I figured that out.
Well, it usually is. We're always looking for so many different things. It ends up being something simple, but doesn't matter. We got you now. It's all that matters. First of all, how have you been? How's the family doing?
Oh man, the family's wonderful. Everyone's doing great, and it's recruiting season, so you know what I mean. I'm busy, man. All day long, I'm on these phones. All day long, I'm getting out in front of kids and just telling them about Valpo and telling them about our values. And we're a program, man. You know, believe it or not, man, my coach is a reverend, like literal, ordained. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? It's a program where it's a heavy emphasis on character development, and there's a heavy emphasis on player development, and our players are doing some pretty amazing things, and so just keep going. I mean, we doubled our win total plus one last year, and shoot, we do that again next year, that'll be awesome. But so that's the goal, man. We're trying to complete a roster, and it's shaping up pretty good right now, and we're in play for some pretty good players, actually some great players, a couple of players I feel that really be momentum shifting and just great players. So it's real. It's kind of ecstatic this time of year because, I mean, April to July, man, you're just trying to find the best pieces that fit and the best pieces that can, play with your head coach. Because at the end of the day, I'm always trying to find guys that fit our head coach's vision. And as long as everything can align and match up, man, it's always fun.
Yeah, what's the transition? You were out at the La Mamba Academy for quite some time, that's coaching as well. And you've been a coach before, but what's the transition to being a college assistant been like for you?
Oh man, hey, I'll tell you this, man. I know Roger Powell can attest to this. Quint Garrison, he has the office right next to mine, and he can attest to this. I mean, Pat Baldwin can attest to this. Matt Gordon can attest to this. But for me, man, I wouldn't say it was difficult, but it was definitely eye-opening. You know what I mean? Because before, I was a player in college, and I was a pretty good player. And I was a player who was only locked in on what I was doing. You know, I was locked in on everyone else, but, I was strictly about, getting my work in, making sure the other guys are working, and then just locking in on a game plan. So from being a college coach, the difference is there's no off switch, right? We had downtime to rest, downtime like to, lock in. This is ongoing. And then the nature of the beast, it's totally changed. It's not like when I was in college. It's totally changed. It's probably like 13 to 14 to 15 more intricate details and things that just boom, boom, boom. It's constantly changing. You know what I mean? So I think at first it was it wasn't difficult. Like on the court, I get it. And but off the court, that part of it was like, whoa, you know what I mean? But I'm in a great groove right now and loving it. And the thing is, I'm a people person, so I was always good with anything. I can adapt to anything thrown at me. But now it's like there's a level of expectation, right? Healthy level of expectation. And I can respond to any challenge, no matter the situation, because I've been in enough of those situations throughout the course of these 2 years.
Well, yeah, and it's a lot of constant work. We know how much coaches work, how long they work, and now that's probably been extended because of the portal, although it's probably a little less travel, but 10 times the players that you're chasing.
A little less travel, no, the travel. The travel is something that it took me a while to get used to travel, and we're always in and out of town. I'm telling you, when you get to conference season, man, you're playing 2-3 games a week and it's just boom, boom. You're here, you're there, you're here, you're there. I remember, I think during one period, we were going like 9-10 days in a row, man. So it's like, that's heavy. But just the aspect of, just developing young men, caring about these young men and doing everything you can. It's like you got to, a lemon, and you got to squeeze every last drop out of it, right, in order to make the best batch of lemonade that you could possibly conjure up. So
You were at the state finals this past weekend, and first of all, what a bunch of great games to watch.
Hey, I mean, phenomenal, man. Andy, hey, so guess what, that was my first time ever going to the state finals. I remember I watched the state finals game when I was a senior in high school, Jared Jeffries versus Zach Randolph. Now, that was a game. And, boy, Zebo went off on my boy. These were crazy. I was at all four, and I was just totally blown away by the execution, the discipline, the awareness of the game plan, right? It was carried out to a T by every single team, all four games. And just the passion and the intensity. It's great to see. Like I was telling DeVries, right? We were sitting by each other. And I told him, I say, hey, it's a difference here. And he's like, I said, you see the difference? And he's like, yeah. I said, man, in 49 other states, it's basketball, but this is Indiana. It's religion. It's a way of life.
And it definitely was an indoctrination because the 4A game, which is the biggest game of the day, but that place, it was pretty full. It was about 75% full.
With that thing was full. That thing was completely full. That last game, the third game, it was probably about 85 to 92. That last game, it was full. I kept looking up at the rafters, looking every. It was full. That thing was full crazy. To me anyway.
Fun, a great night, but those games were very, very good. They came down. They were close. They were battles. There were great players in all of them. Players that are, well, some that are available, by the way. I'm sure you know about that.
I don't know anything, man. Yeah,
I can't mention any names. That's so funny. In this day and age of all that's going on, the one thing you can't do is mention a recruit's name, which I think is so stupid.
Mention a who?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
it's just one of the, I'm like, all the things you can do and that's what you can't do.
I mean, I think nowadays I would love to see it. And I know it's tricky, but I think the NCAA, I think they just need to revamp the entire legislation with the rules and just kind of get them under a more of a firm grip, because I mean, with the nature of how things are operating nowadays, I mean, the amateurism thing is totally out the window. I mean, you can, if you want to call it that, you can call it that. But nowadays, I just think it's, we need to make it more of a
profession.
Not a profession, but just make the rules that are more aligned in with the fact that these players are getting paid. So,
you know, yeah, I agree. And I think eventually they will. We'll see where it goes to. You mentioned meeting Coach Darren DeVries, the Indiana's new coach there. What are your takes on Coach DeVries so far?
Oh man, well, you know, my first year in the league, he was coaching Drake, so played against him 2 times. I think he's excellent. I love his offensive flows, his offensive game plan. I love his identity. Defensively, they do some pretty aggressive things, but aggressive in the manner of everyone just pays attention to their own personal, you know, agenda or their own personal details, and it just kind of correlates. But I love him offensively. I love his demeanor. You know what I mean? He's always calm, always, you know, encouraging. Seems to be upbeat. But he seems to be a remarkable coach, a great guy, you know. But, you know, other than that, man, go Valpo.
Oh, absolutely. No, we're not going to slight Valpo any. We'll shout out Valpo, and you can come on anytime you want and scream the virtues of the Crusaders, right?
Oh, man, we're the Beacons now. Beacons, man. Shining that light, man. See the light, baby. See the light.
What was wrong with Crusader that it needed to be changed?
I have no idea. I think that so it wasn't this president. It was the president before. As soon as they got the job, they changed the name. And it was just because, you know, it was during that time period where they were changing names of things that were upsetting. And so the Crusaders, why it's a great, you know, cause to get behind Crusaders. When you really study the Crusaders, you get to see some of the stuff the Crusaders did. So I know some people were rubbed the wrong way, and we're not trying to be offensive to anyone. So the president went ahead and changed the name to the Beacons. Me and Coach, we really love the name the Beacons because, man, me and Coach are both, you know, Christian men. And, you know, the Beacon has meaning, you know, so, you know.
Well, it's a pretty – it's That's probably the best name change. Usually they're stupid. They when people change names, they go to something dumb. That's great. It makes sense. It's a beautiful thing. And I know we'll talk more about Valpo, but since you have experience playing, also there was a couple of guys there, Drew Adams and Nick Norton. Now, did you know those guys prior to?
Well, of course, you know, of course I knew Drew, you know, his father, Mark, ran Indiana Elite for years. I've known Drew before Drew was even, I think Drew was a kid. You know what I mean? I know Drew isn't for like probably more than half his life. With Nick, man, I just met Nick officially, and me and Nick really hit it off. He's a great guy. I'm just, that's who I am. I hit it off with him. Chris Collins was a real cool guy. You know, I talk with people, man. I'm congenial, and so that's that. But I love both of them. I love both of them.
And thank you again for we're not ending coming on, but we're celebrating 2,000 shows this week. So
wow, man, that's impressive
coming on. Well, it just means I've been around too long, probably. But I appreciate you for always being so kind with your time. And so Indiana now with Darren DeVries, probably going to be a different style of play. You talked about having played against Darren DeVries when he was at Drake. I think, and I just had Alec Lasley on. We were talking about how he expects a much more perimeter oriented style of offense.
Oh man, I'm not gonna say it's gonna be perimeter oriented or this or that. I see DeVries, like DeVries is a guy, he uses the full court. You know what I mean? He uses the entire realm, the entire spectrum. There's gonna be a lot of just great basketball type of plays that, you know, in Indiana we love. It's gonna be back screens, it'll be down screens, it'll be staggers, it'll be pin downs, it'll be flares, it'll be all type of stuff. But the cool thing about DeVries' offense is normally while you have that going on this side, there's another action going on the other side. So there's all these simultaneous actions that really make for some great basketball. And DeVries recruits tougher guards, guards that defend, guards that really get in you. And all of his guards can shoot the basketball. His teams normally they're full of guys that can shoot the basketball. And I feel that was, you know, something that could have been insinuated or something that could have been, I don't know, heightened, you know, over the course of the past 4 or 5 years. So,
Dana, you're one of her all-time favorites. But then again, how could you not be? I hate to bring this up every single time, but it is one of my absolute favorite. Why didn't that not come in there? I believe that's why I've got to rearrange us. So, it's in the background. We can't see it. Yeah, man, I wanted to, that should have been an overlay.
I know what it is.
I'm going to leave it in the background there. Yeah, every time I see it, I'm like, that would be wallpaper in my house, the entire house.
I want that in my basement. I'm going to get it in my basement one day. It's just a wall, get an entire wall of the rejection.
It's one of the greatest photos ever. Unfortunately, it's not as clear with all of us in it. If I remove me, you can't hear me, which people would like that. I did it quickly. I took me out. And then you out, and you can see that's AJ blocking Carlos Boozer, whose sons are playing in Indianapolis this week, AJ, at the Chipotle Nationals. How crazy is that? Time-wise.
To me, yeah, it's surreal. You know, me and Boozer follow each other on Instagram or whatever, and it's surreal. But man, to Caden and Cameron's credit, man, those guys have been working, man. I've been watching those guys work, man, probably for like the past 8-9 years, you know what I mean? Because, you know, you got Instagram now, you can watch, you can see. But I mean, I've seen those guys work. Those guys put in a lot of time, and those guys compete, you know. So I know that Carlos was very instrumental in their development and very supportive, man. He's a loving father, man. He's a great guy. And, man, kudos to him because he was always a hard worker. So,
and you know, they're very talented as well.
Oh, man, they're extremely talented.
As your father was.
Yeah, they're extremely talented.
So, yeah, now I got it up there. So now we can see it. It's behind and in front. We're getting AJ Moye to death, baby. There's never been so much AJ Moye on the show as there is right now. There, it's up there. So what's up next for you and at Valpo?
What's up next for me? Man, just continue to get us better, man. I'd say with me, man, this year, man, I'm expecting us to get 20 plus wins. I'm expecting us to compete for a league title. I'm expecting us to win that tournament. I'm expecting us to get to the second weekend in the NCAA. That's me. I'm always a guy who sees the very best. And you know, fortunately for me, most of the time it ends up being that way, but I'm a big guy believing in will, man. You know, God
will it to happen, man. Will it to happen?
God's blessed me in my life, and that's what I believe in, man. You just have to have that will to go after your dreams and chase them each day.
I've got 30 seconds. How about our buddy Sharon?
Oh well, I love Sharon. Sharon's one of my closest friends in life. I'm about to hop on a call with him here as soon as I'm done talking with you, but
he was on with us yesterday.
I love Sharon, man. I'm happy.
So happy.
For him.
Oh, ecstatic. Ecstatic. Mm-hmm. Enjoy it. Really, really, really appreciate you. Love you guys. Love you for coming on, man. You're always the best. Anything I can ever do for you, just let us know, man.
All right, man. Take care, Jim.
Thank you. AJ Moye joining us here on the program. It's going to wrap it up. Appreciate everybody for joining us today. We're back tomorrow with lots more. Don't forget, go to www.on3.com/teams/Indiana-Hoosiers. You'll be able to connect with the Hoosier.com itself later on today. That's going to wrap it up. You guys go out. Have yourselves a great day. We're back tomorrow to do it again. Until then, I'm Jim Coyle. I will see you on the radio.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more clips and team coverage of Indiana basketball, football, and more. You can also find full episodes and tons of other content on thehoosier.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio.
Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day. Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day.